The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works of themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
It's always good to be back here at St. Joseph's, and I'm honored to be here to assist Father Irwin this weekend. He has a heavy load. He had two First Communion Masses this morning, and has a full load tomorrow, so he asked me to come this evening and share the Holy Mass with you this evening. So I'm great to be back where I began, huh? The late evangelist Billy Graham tells of a time during his early years of his preaching ministry where he was due to lead a crusade in a small town in South Carolina. And needing to mail a letter, he stopped a young boy in the streets who was riding his bike, and he asked him where the nearest post office was. So the boy told Reverend Graham where it was, and Dr. Graham said, "Young man, if you'll come to Central Baptist Church this evening, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. God's holy house." The young boy thought for a moment and replied, "No thanks. If you don't know how to get to the post office, I doubt you know how to get to heaven." Centuries before Christ, the sages of India prayed every morning a prayer called the Shanti Mantra, the Mantra Prayer for Peace. It was composed in 700 BC in Sanskrit, in a language far, far removed. The prayer goes like this: "From falsehood lead us to truth, from darkness lead me to light, from mortality lead me to immortality." Centuries later, the Lord Jesus gave us another prayer that really has really the best tremendous claim. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." In fact, our Savior took three of the greatest basic concepts of Jewish religion and made them the unique claim that in him, all three foundations are full of realization. Now, I want to pause there for a moment and make this very clear. St. John's Gospel, every time he puts on the Lord's lips the English verb, I am, to be, he's doing that very distinctly and very clearly in Hebrew, in a very Hebrew or Aramaic and very distinctive way. If we go back and look in the original text, the line that Deacon Larry just proclaimed to us, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It fits in English, but that's not what it says in Hebrew or Aramaic. The sentence in Aramaic is, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And in Hebrew, every time Jesus says that to be verb, which we translate as I am, to be, it's not just a verb. He is proclaiming God's holy name. He is proclaiming what we call in English the tetragrammaton, the four-letter verb, the vowels, the consonants of the name that God pronounced on Mount Sinai. And when Moses said, by the way, who are you? The people down there are going to want to know who I'm talking to up here. And God pronounces his name. It is a to-be verb. And it becomes such a holy thing that the Hebrews never pronounce it again. They create another word for it. It's called the tetragrammaton because it is God's holy name. It's so holy, so unpronounceable that they dare not speak it because God might strike them dead. So they created a 13-letter word to pronounce the 4-letter word they won't pronounce. Okay? So in John's gospel, every time Jesus says, I am, he's pronouncing that word. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So when Jesus says, I am truth, I am life, I am way, he's pronouncing God's name and then saying truth, life, way. Does that make sense? Okay, so get that in your mind, okay, when you hear those words. This means that he alone is the surest way to the Almighty. He alone, as the Son of God and as the Son of Man, has the ultimate authority, the flawless teachings of the truths about God. He alone can give us God's life because he is God. St. John's central message is that the Lord is both revealer and the revelation of the Almighty. If you wish to know who God is, what God thinks, and how God acts, and how God wants us to be in relationship with him, we have only to look to the Lord Jesus as the eternal Word made flesh. The Jesus of the gospel does not only want to show us his way, but the only way. The life of a humble, generous servant is the way. He does not just philosophize about the concept of a truth. He is a perfection of the revelation of the truth about God and his ultimate love for his people. He is not just a preacher of futuristic promises. Rather, he is and has been raised up by God to a state of existence in God to which he now invites us to come. In embracing the spirit of his gospel, then, we are hoping to make his hope of his word with the very encounter of Christ, of God himself. We make connections that way. If we go further, the God of the Father, who is the truth and the life through the Lord Jesus, and the Lord himself calls us to the way, because he, the only begotten Son of God, is also the Son of Man. The invisible manifestation in human flesh of all that the Father is, to those who teach that other religions lead us to God, or religion used to religions of immaterial provided that man could find a good life, Jesus, on the other hand, shows us that he is the very way to God because he came from God and therefore can show us how to get home to the Heavenly Father. You see, the founders of other religions had the wrong ideas about the way to God, but they were kind of guides. So, for example, Lao Tse, who lived from 604 to 531 BC, the founder of Taoism said this: "Get rid of all desires. You will have to be contented with life on earth. But I'm not really sure about the life to come." Buddha once taught people about self-realization through total detachment and the finding of nirvana, whatever that was. But he was not sure that God really existed, or that nirvana would actually lead you to God. Confucius confessed that he did not know an eternal life or a way to attain it. The founder of Islam, Muhammad Nabi, admitted that he had no hope for a future unless Allah should somehow find himself merciful enough to grant it to him. However, our beloved Messiah laid claim that he was the only way to God. When a person is a way for us to get to the Father and everlasting life, then that way is found only in a relationship with him. That is, our union with the Lord in mind and heart, in our will and in our actions. But Jesus is a sure way to God. But it's a narrow way, he reminds us. And that narrow way is the cross. In the least traveled way is humble, loving, self-giving, self-sacrificing, and committed to service to others. To follow the way of Jesus is to become a special kind of person, a person whose whole being reflects the truth and the life that Jesus is, and reveals to us in a person who is the truth and the life, who is totally identified with the vision and the very ideals of what Jesus is about. The medieval monk Thomas A. Kempis, the author of the famous Imitation of Christ, explains it this way. He says that Jesus says that I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Thus, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Mahatma Gandhi said this: God is truth. But our Lord said, the truth becomes he, and he is the only way that reveals the truth about God. He teaches us that God is loving, merciful, providing, and a forgiving Father. He also teaches us that truth is a triune God living in existence with each other and true believers. Jesus is the truth because he is becoming the very testimony of that truth, demonstrating through his life and through his death and into his resurrection that the love of God is eternal, and that he has that love for all human beings. Truth here then is a complete integrity of the harmony of the Lord Jesus himself, revealed to us in the flesh, not only in what he said, not only in what he did, but in the total manifestation of his complete life and into his resurrection. Jesus is the truth, the very word of God. To seek the truth elsewhere is to stumble and to fall, to deal in falsehoods and lies. And that's where our world is right now. St. Augustine said this: you must walk tenderly and slowly on the way. If you run fast, you will lose your way and fall off. So then we pray with the 86th Psalm: teach me the way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. For us to live the truth in that way is also to be fully alive, fully engaged, fully functioning Christian people, responding totally and completely to the abundance of the life that Jesus came to give us. As God, the Lord Jesus is life because he is life eternal in himself. In addition, he is the one who gives life through and with the Holy Spirit. The Lord is a life also in the same way, in the sense that he follows us and gives us life through God in the sacraments of the church. Christ rose from the dead for two reasons. First, to give us life eternal. Second, to make us fully alive in his Holy Spirit, which animates us and moves us through this life unto life eternal, to make us fully alive in and with God. Again, we turn to the classic of Thomas A. Kempis and the Imitation of Christ, who said, "Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living." So, in all of life, there's always choices to be made. Every day, every moment, every hour. In the early church, they called themselves the people of the way. I'm not sure how that got lost. It probably happened when they went to Antioch and they were called Christians for the first time. I think they probably lost something. If we were so called people of the way, wouldn't people want to know what that meant? But if we're called Christians, they kind of figure it out. But if we were so called in the 21st century people of the way, people would want to know, where are you going? Then we'd have to answer, do you know where you're going? Do you know the way? Do you want the life? Do you want to find the truth? And always remember, those are not unknowable things. They're not ungraspable things. They are a person. And that person is alive and has risen from the dead. He is Christ, our Lord and our Messiah. He is truly risen. And today he proclaims to you that truth.